Okay, we're a little early, but it's okay. Praise the Lord, my sisters and brothers. I'm glad to be able to greet you again on this blessed Sunday morning. Thank the Lord for just allowing us to come together in this fashion that we may be able to share some of God's word to each and every one of you. Before we go any further, let's just pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, always. And we just glorify you, Father, for just being so good and always being so good to us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for each and every one who's able to come together and meet in this fashion. We may not be physically in front of each other, Lord, but we just thank God for the technology and be able to meet through this fashion. We pray that you'll bless this meeting, that you'll bless our thoughts, open up our understanding, and grant us the wisdom that we might be able to even look into your word as we examine it, our Heavenly Father, and feast off of it, and let it be food for our very souls and edification in our Christian living. I pray, Lord, that you allow me to just be able to give forth your word, Father, which you would have given to your people, void of my pride and my ego and my vanity, Lord. But just praying as always that some soul will be edified, sanctified, and that you'll be glorified. But this I do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. So I want to share a little bit of God's word for you, for those who may not have their Bibles available. But to hear, just to hear this here as we look into this a little bit today. We're coming from the Gospel of St. John, the 19th chapter. And I'm just going to read a few verses, the 7th through the 11th verses. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. Let us hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said this. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." We have read from the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter, the 7th through the 11th verses. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his word. Listen, here in the United States, there are millions of people angry, scared, and bamboozled. On the other hand, there are millions of people who are feeling relieved, happy, and contented. The question here is why? Why? Why is there I use the word disparity between the feelings of people? I mean, coming from the same source or being exposed to the same things or what have you. Why is there such a, balance or counterbalance of feelings? Like I said, millions of people feeling this way, let us say negatively, while you have so many people on the other side feeling completely the opposite. And the question question we're raising is why? Why? If I knew the complete answer to all of this, I guess I'd be labeled some type of genius or something. But I can give you a big reason why. And a big reason is because, now watch this. The politicians who are in office seem to be making the types of legislative moves that are financially hurting millions of people, especially millions of people who are probably hardworking, and some of them may be considered lower class or whatever labels they want to put on people. But we're not talking about the filthy rich. Okay, now don't get excited. Don't be surprised. I'm not going to spend this time preaching politics to you, trust me. But some of you might think differently, but let's see what happens. Okay. Now, these decisions, these legislative decisions they are making, have these people upset, the hard workers, the ones who are working maybe, and it seems like they're barely keeping their heads above water. Between the prices of things and the taxes they have to pay for their houses and just for buying stuff, it's tough. And similar, the legislative rules and laws that are coming forward are really not helping them too much. Okay, but these same decisions. Okay, these same decisions are not just affecting folks financially, but they're making decisions that are all but destroying, damaging what moral fiber is left in our society. You know what I'm saying? There are laws and rules, I'll use these words, that are in place that allows certain conducts, certain behaviors to be acceptable in society today, whereby some of us who are a little bit more seasoned, have been around a little while, would never have dreamed they'd even see these type of things happening when we were younger. Oh, they've been going on. There's nothing new. I mean, I don't have to label everything, the destruction, the violence, the immoral acts, and all of these things. They've been going on since mankind. But the big difference we see today is that it is accepted. It's becoming so widely accepted in too many societies, too many cultures, too many places around the world, not just here in the United States, but all around the world, behaviors that at one time were considered even taboo. And scripture-wise, for those who follow what this says, the Holy Bible, the Word of God, completely against God's teachings, but they seem to be doing and allowed in society because of some of the laws and legislative moves that man is making. People can go around and not having to call their child boys or girls and not having to raise them that way. And it seems to be okay. So, yes, a lot of these moves seem to have all but painted us in a corner. On one hand, yes, some people feel good about being able to have the freedom to do these things. But on the other hand, that freedom seems to have enslaved us even more. Like we said, at the same time, a lot of the legislation that is being passed seems to be showing favor to those who have shown loyalty to the powers that be. Loyalty to the parties, as we could say. Democrat, Republican, and what have you. Those who show in loyalties. For those people who are in position, our leadership from the top down, whether they be on a federal level, a state level, city level, these politicians that all seem to be in the same party, and those who are loyal to them, oh, they have found favor. It seems, like we said, they on the side of the millions that seem to be content, happy, because these moves seem to be moving. These legislative moves seem to be going in their favor. Now, we see this happening. We're experiencing this. Okay, we're going through this. But I don't want anyone to think that this is the first time that political leaders or a political leader has made an unpopular decision that many people oppose. Like I say, millions of people in this case today are opposed to it. But the leader made the decision anyway. Okay, solely because those other millions of people, the ones that are loyal to him, the ones that we say make up the majority, even though it might be, I'm just using any figure, 51 to 49, that's not very much of a difference, but they are the majority. Okay. And so those people who are in the so-called majority and those people who have the greater influence, and it just so happens most times those people are the people with money in positions, in society, because of this money, okay, they have the greatest influence. They wanted these decisions to be made, and they're the ones who are in position to support our leaders, and in this country, our leader, and from the top down. And he's the one in position to make these decisions. Okay, it goes through. So now, because of this, what we have going on today, despite the fact that there are millions of people complaining about how our political leaders are deconstructing, not reconstructing, I said deconstructing, dismantling, and just outright destroying our country's morals and ethics by the things they're allowing to be accepted, to be legal. Guess what? We read in the Bible where the political leaders, the religious leaders, and even Jesus' own people conspired against him, against the one who is teaching righteousness, teaching right living, teaching how to love one another, that we should be loving one another, teaching how we can help one another, everything positive. And there were a lot of people who were okay with this, who loved this. But for those people who were taking advantage of the dis enfranchised, taking advantage of the poor people, taking advantage of those hard workers, those who did not have much as far as finances go, and they were taking advantage and making even more money from them. They weren't happy. But because they were the ones of influence, they were the leaders in their society, in their communities, in their villages. They were the ones who were collecting all the taxes. They are the ones who are making all the laws. They are the ones who were supposed to be enforcing the laws. They were the ones, like we said, in position, in authority, in power. They wanted no parts of this newfangled teaching. And this person who's going around spreading this is upsetting us. We can't keep making money with our brothels and with our things that we were doing and that were immoral, but folks liked it. Y'all saying to yourself, wow, this sounds like what's going on today. How about that? Some of our young people may be even hearing this. Those who think that they're doing something that has not been done before, what you're doing, like when you hear the young people saying, well, it's a new time now. It's a new way. Come on. My father used to hate that phrase. And I'm with him on that. The times are not new. Only in the fact that it's a later date than it was from years ago. We can say, well, it's 100 years later, 60 years later, that in that regard. But what you're doing, the behaviors that are being exhibited, the behaviors that want to be accepted and allowed in society, this has been going on. But you don't believe me. You don't believe me. So, we're going to look into the scriptures. Okay. Like I said, we read in the Bible, we're the political leaders and the religious leaders. Now, you hear what I'm saying here? Now, wait a minute. They should be going against each other, shouldn't they? But we're going to see where they conspire along with Jesus' own kin. How many of you know that sometimes when you take positions that are not possible, that are not popular in your communities, in your neighborhood, in the city or whatever level you are operating in, those who supposed to be, those who are your family and supposed to be rallying with you, even if they don't agree with you, they're not going to go against you. But hey, how many of you know that more often than not, a lot of your family even turn their back on you, even speak against you, even act against you. Jesus knows this all too well. All too well. And just as sure as it happened to him, he told us, it's going to happen to you. Don't think because you've been elevated in the areas of church, you've been saved, you've been born again, you love the Lord, you don't mind talking about the Lord. Do not begin to think that your friends, your buddies, your pals, even your family are going to embrace you because of this. A lot of them are going to be feeling embarrassed that you're going around talking about this Jesus, talking about his teachings, talking about turning the other cheek, talking about being honest, talking about not lying anymore, talking about not hanging out, going to those places that we used to go to, going to those different types of parties and gatherings that we used to go to and we don't go to anymore simply because the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as found in this Holy Bible, tells us that we ought not to do it. And now, some of them, believe it or not, are even going to feel envious of you, jealous of you, all kinds of different reasons, because you make them feel guilty. Because they know that what they're doing is really not right, but they enjoy it. They enjoy it. Yeah. I mean, come on, a lot of the things that we do, we may realize it's not right. And I'm not saying all the time it's not right for everybody, but it may not be right for us, as we have said many times. If I have type 1 diabetes, I'm taking a needle for it, all the time or whatever. Yet I insist on getting out of here, eating stuff that I should not be. Yes, that's sin for me. I've watched people that I care about. I myself being diabetic, but I've watched people that I care about eat themselves, literally eat themselves to death. I watched them lose their sight, get their limbs cut off, and eventually leave from here, all because they would not do the right thing, simply eating or not eating. Come on. Yes. So we watch a lot of things going on. We see people do things they don't really care for and they know it's not right, but they love it. Some of us say that's an addiction. All addictions are not crack, heroin, LSD, even alcohol. Oh, some of them could be so many different things that causes us wrong, causes us even death. Like we just stated, I can't control my eating habits. Addicted to food. Some of us say, well, I don't really cook that much. I go out all the time. That can be become your addiction. I don't know what it is. But here, let's get back to what we're talking about here in the text. Okay. Like we said, there are millions of people complaining about what's going on, and including a lot of believers or in that group of those who are complaining, you know, because what the government seems to be doing, okay, like we said, they're causing such a terrible moral decay in our society that it seems like anything and everything goes. Wow. Some of you are saying, well, I just saw that in the news. I read that in the newspaper. That's what's going on today. And you start trying to tell me that the Bible spoke about this years ago. Listen, how often do we hear believers today talking about how all of those legal actions that were taken against Jesus was wrong? I mean, from the time he was arrested to the time he actually had to go to be crucified. Again, we look in the scriptures from the trials, from the times he was arrested, all of these things were bogus, illegally done, illegally held. Who spoke up against it? Like I said, the politicians who's supposed to be conducting these things and the religious leaders were in cahoots. Now, beloved, you trying to tell me those of us, those of you who are trying or doing the best you know how to live holy, to live according to what the scriptures are teaching, are going to walk hand in hand with the politicians, those who your Christian walk, the things you are being taught, goes against the things they represent. Now, I'm not saying all of them, but enough of them. You know, these same laws that say, yes, when you're of age, that age in most places of 21, you can drink all you want, get drunk. Whereby the Holy Bible says, no, you should not do this. You should not drink in excess. That's what the laws of the land tell you. We see that there's a problem, always has been, yet. When it came to Jesus, they were working hand in hand. My Lord. He said, well, how could they get these things done? Didn't the people cry out? Guess what? Yes, they did cry out. Jesus' own people were crying out, crucify him. We got laws. Crucify him. He's keeping my cousin, my sister, who goes around reading people's palms and getting paid. He's saying that's not right. Oh, crucify him. He's messing with our money. We used to hold and sell all kinds of stuff, like a flea market type thing. We used to even do this in the temple. But he had the audacity to come by and say that, wait a minute, you done made my father's house, a house of thieves. Y'all are coming in here selling goods and cheating people, putting your thumbs on the scale when you're weighing stuff. You do get out. Oh, we can't have this kind of guy around. Oh, yeah, I know that he did some things. He gave sight to the blind. He made people who couldn't walk again. And I've even heard that he raised a couple of people from the dead. And he did all that stuff. But he's messing with our money. He's messing with our livelihood. He's messing with the things that make us happy. He's got to go. Some of his own people were saying this. Well, beloved, I'm going to bring out a couple of things and then I'm going to be done with this because I don't have anything new. Okay. And I'm going to use for a simple subject today, who's got the power? Who's got the power? When we read here in the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter, I want you to pay attention to what's being said here in this 10th verse. Okay. Jesus is before Pilate now. He's the head man in charge. Okay. And the people have brought him before Pilate. The same people, when Jesus entered into the town, were talking about, oh, Hosanna, glory to God, praising him. The week hasn't gone out, but now they're talking about crucifying. Because he then came in and upset their happy homes, and upset their businesses, their cheating businesses, upset those who are making their living off of other people who are just barely trying to live. Going around reading palms, going around looking in crystal balls, going around calling themselves, being able to prophesy and telling them good things that's going to happen to them in the future. Some of them bringing their last few coins to find these things out. And he's going around saying, no, you're not going to be doing this. You know, that woman, she's put had this gift. And he's rebuking them and taking away that. Oh, no, we can't have it. Okay. So they arrested him. And they, railroaded him through these bogus trials. And we can talk about that sometime if you wish. And here he is, chained up. Okay. Bound up, surrounded by pilots, guards, and all. And Pilate has said to him, now watch this. He said, first he asked him, where is he from? Jesus didn't say a word. And Pilate wouldn't believe him if he told him. So Pilate said, you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said, listen, don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? You hear what Pilate said? I have the power to do this. You don't want to talk to me? Now listen, Pilate believed that since he had power over the people under his territorial authority. Yeah, he can tax them, he can untax them, he can do a lot of things to them. He had that kind of power and authority over them. And since he had that authority over them, okay, and even had the authority that, yes, he could sentence Jesus to death, or he could say, no, let him go. He had the audacity to talk to Jesus and said, I got the power over you to do this. He thought now he could sit there with his arms crossed, folded across, and tell Jesus, I can do this to you. I can free you or I can cause you to die. Oh, if only he knew. But Jesus, always being the master teacher, always taking advantage of teaching opportunities. Because now Pilate is grandstanding before people, before his guards, before all these people that got Jesus chained up, bound up. Jesus decided to speak. And look at what he said. I want y'all to get this picture in your mind. Jesus bound up, locked up, arrested. And says to Pilate, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. I want y'all to hear these words. I'm going to tell you why they're so important. Now, let me say this again. You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Let me see why this is so important. Even though Jesus was bound, like I said, in chains, surrounded by Pilate's guards, facing a death sentence that would lead him to being crucified, Jesus let Pilate know that the only power and authority he had over him was given to him. You didn't earn it. You didn't inherit it. You had no right to it. It was given to you. But guess what was given to you? It was given to you from heaven above. From heaven above. You say, okay, we got that. We know that God, ordained this whole thing. We know that. Some of you are saying this is elementary, but let me share a portion of God's word to you. Okay. It says in James, the first chapter in the 17th verse, listen to these words. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. He said, oh, wait a minute. Did you just say good and perfect gift comes from above? Isn't that part of what Jesus said to Pilate? Isn't that part of what he said? He said, you have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Oh, he said, above. But what comes from above is perfect and good gifts. And a gift is something I didn't work for it. I didn't earn it. It was just given to me. But Jesus told Pilate that what was given to him came from above. Don't get things twisted, Pilate. You didn't earn this. It was given to you. The position that you hold was given to you. Oh, you think that you were voted in. You think that because people like you, you were put in position. You have no idea, no idea, no clue that God orchestrated this whole thing. Just because you can't see why, just because it doesn't make sense to you, why would he do this? Doesn't mean that it doesn't make sense. You can't see far enough. You're still with that arrogant thinking that man has, that because it doesn't make any sense to me, because I can't see the end of it, because I can't see the working of it, because I can't understand the workings of this whole thing. It makes no sense. No, it makes no sense to you. It makes no sense to you. Why do you think God said without faith, it is impossible to please him? You've got to believe. It's far beyond your finite thinking. It's far beyond your logical thinking. It's far beyond the sense that you have. But if God says that A plus B equals Z, you just got to believe it. You just got to believe it. If he says 1 plus 1 equals 1, God said it. When you consider the sorcerer who's saying this to you, you say, that doesn't make sense to me, but God said it. And you know for a fact God said it. I believe it. I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. I can bring out the slide rule. I can bring out the calculators. I can bring out the computers, and I can try to add these things up. I can try to compute these things. I can try to make sense out of it, and it makes no sense. But all I know is God said it. Some of you say, well, that's a blind faith. Oh, no, it's not. Y'all know me. One of my passionate verses, Paul says, I know I believe, and I'm persuaded. God didn't just do this for me, and I just took it at face value. He persuaded me. He convinced me. I've watched him do wonderful things for others. I've read about him doing wonderful things for others. And I believe what I read because the source of it came from his own word, from the Holy Bible. I know it's true. So I have no doubt about it. And if God says he did it, he did it. I'll stand on that until the Lord takes me home. God said it. And I know he said it. So yes. Yes, I know who I believe. I know who I put my faith in. I know it. I feel just like Paul did. I know it. It's not a blind faith. He's done too many things, too many miracles he's performed. And then miracles, like I got again, this is a cottonism. What makes it a miracle? One of the things that makes it a miracle is because it's something that was accomplished, it was done, and it makes no sense. It makes no sense. The only way I can explain it is that God did it. That's the only explanation I had for it. And I know God did it, and that's what's called faith. Let me move on, y'all, because y'all don't want to hear this. Okay. Now, watch this. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Y'all bear with me. I'm almost finished. Okay. Now, Paul had no idea. He had no idea, no clue that he was just a part of what God already had planned for man. A plan that was orchestrated from in heaven before he even came around, before he was even born, before he was even in his mother's womb. This plan and him being a part of this plan was already written. He didn't know that. He thinks that he is something. He thinks that he is doing all of this. He is pulling the strings. Beloved, I'm saying this here as I'm almost ready to come to a close. God sent his perfect gift, his only begotten son, Jesus, to come. To come to earth and do exactly what he was doing right then before Pilate. To come and do exactly what he had to do this. Y'all know this. Y'all read it in this in the Bible. These things that were prophesied that Jesus would do, these things that were prophesied that Jesus had to go through, all part of God's plan for man. All part of it. Do y'all think that a God who knows all is surprised by the things that we think we are doing on our own? He wouldn't be all-knowing if he was surprised by it. Come on, y'all. Look at what it says. Pilate, the power that you have, the authority that you have, was given to you by my Father in heaven. He put you in place. He put you in position so that you can work out the plan that he already has. He needed you to be where you are so that I can be right here where I am. He needed you to do the things that you did so that I could do the things that I do. And he needed this to be done in the eyes of man. You see, I don't understand that. That's the glory and the beauty of being a follower of the Lord God, Jehovah, of Jesus Christ. I don't have to understand it. He didn't require me to understand it. He required for me to believe it. To believe it. Abraham believed God. He had no heard no sermons prior. He was not being chased by a pilot, by Pharaoh. But when God spoke to him, he believed that he was God. He believed that he was who he said he was. That's called faith. That's called, he didn't question it. He didn't question who God was or what God told him to do. That's faith. We have faith now. We can open up our Bibles and read. Abraham didn't have that. We have heard many sermons preached. Again, Abraham didn't have that. He believed. God said, without faith, without belief in me, it's impossible. Impossible. Please me. It's impossible. I can't be pleased with the way you conduct yourself. I can't be pleased with the things that come out of your mouth. I can't be pleased with what you're doing because I am not taking preeminence in your life. A lot of us don't even realize that a lot of the things we do, we're doing it for the praise of man. We say we're not. But if you don't, if you're not doing it for the praise of man, then why are you making sure that man knows everything that you do? Do your things. You want to give Sister So-and-so some food? Just give it to him. You don't have to tell everybody what you're doing. When it's time for you to be exalted, God will exalt you. Depend on him to do what, you feel don't need to be done. But let God work his perfect work in you. Listen, God knew exactly what he was doing through his son Jesus. I mean, from his birth to that very moment that he was standing before Pilate, everything was already scripted in heaven. It's already scripted from above. Oh, y'all don't want to hear this, but I'm gonna be done with you in a minute. You'll be through with me in a moment. Just bear with me just one more minute or two. Okay, all of the lies, all of the beatings, all of the phony trials, and even that audience with Pilate was already scripted. Already scripted. They were all part of God's plan. Jesus had to go through all of it and even more so that man could have the chance to spend his eternity with God. All of this that Jesus was going through, everything that he did when he came here on earth, he did for the benefit of us. He knew no sin. He had committed no sin, but he became sin for us. He became sin for us. The sin that would lead him to the cross. Yes, he put up with those beatings. He put up with those lies. He put up with all of it. And as the word said, didn't say a mumbling word because that's what he came here to do. That's what he came here to do. Power to my, I got power. Beloved, do you know now who got the power? You're saying to yourself, oh my gosh, God and Jesus working together. That's where the power came from. How would you like to know that you had to go through the ordeal of crucifixion and what it entails, how painful it will be, how demoralizing it will be, and you had done nothing wrong? But you, because of love, because of your love for man, you allow these things to happen. You allow for man to demoralize you. You allow for man to lie on you. You allow for man, okay, completely make you feel and look like you were nothing. You went through all of that for man. He showed us, Jesus showed us the humility, he said, that we need to have. He showed us the forgiveness that he taught about, that he was teaching we should show. He showed us this. Showing us that he would do what he said he would do, letting us understand the importance of keeping our word. To the point he told us this, you don't lie to one another. Don't do it. There's no reason for it. He showed us this, not just taught it, not just preached it, but he lived it. He lived it right before our very eyes. He could easily, as he told us in his word, easily had commanded so many legions of angels to come. He said, I don't have to go through this. I don't have to go through this at all. But it had to be done. My blood, this is what Jesus is letting us know, had to be shed. Why? Because even though it was over 2,000 years ago, I knew that 2,000 years from then, Henry Cotton would be born. And if my blood hadn't been shed to cover his sin, to wash away his sin, for him to believe that it was done, he would not have a chance to be saved. I gotta do it for him. Some of you are saying right now, oh, he did it for me. Because he saved my soul. And there's another one saying, no, he did it for me, brother. And the list goes on and on and on. Because yes, you have personalized it. He has become your personal, your Lord and Savior. Not just Lord and Savior, but your Lord and Savior. We've talked about that in times past. There are different kings around the world from different societies, but they're not your king. If they were to stand before you, yes, you would give them their title, king, whatever their name is. But Jesus was not just any old king. They tried to ridicule him, mock him, give him a crown of thorn, saying that he was king of the Jews. But I'm here to let you know that Jesus is king over all. He's going to show that. Make him your personal king. He's got the power. Always has. And always will. When he sent his son Jesus to walk like you walk, to talk like you walk, like you talk, to be tempted like you're being tempted. Yet he would do all of this without sinning. And then to have him suffer, bleed, die, and then become resurrected for you, and to let you know that now all power is in my hand. This is what Jesus is saying. All power belongs to me. Power over life, power over death. Power to save. All of it belongs to God. All of it belongs to Jesus. All of it. You just got to believe. You've got to believe. And you've got to believe in your heart. Solely, no doubt about it, that Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus is who the Holy Bible says he is. Jesus is the one. We know the same one who says he is the way, the truth, and the life. You've got to believe it. You've got to believe it. And you're saying to you right now, I do believe. I do believe. I know that I'm a drunk, but I believe. I know that I'm on drugs, but I believe. I know that I'm living a way that the Bible says I shouldn't, but I believe. I have to say, like the soldier said, I believe, but Lord, I need you to help my unbelief. I need you to help me because I'm not strong enough to ignore the ridicules of those around me. I'm not strong enough to say that those who tease me It don't hurt. And I don't like feeling that hurt. I go along with a whole lot of things that my heart is not in it, but I'm not strong enough to keep away from it. The Lord said, listen, listen. I'm with you. Turn these things over to me. Trust me. Don't depend on what you know. Trust me. There's a limit to your knowledge. There is no limit to mine. Trust me. There's a limit to what you can do. There is no limit to what I can do. I told you that I can make it so that you can do all things. All means all. You can do all things through me. I will give you the strength. Turn it over to me. Cast all of your cares on me. You're one of my children now. You're one of my followers now. You're one of my disciples now. You've accepted me as your Lord and Savior. Let me be Lord over your life. Turn it over to me. Told you I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I got you right here in the hollow of my hand. I'm protecting you. I've always protected you. I've built a fence around you. Don't you realize you got things happening all around you? You've got people falling away on this side of you, falling away on that side of you. But yet, it gets close to you, but never to your house because I'm keeping you. For such a time as this, when you are ready to pour your heart out to me, when you are ready to say, Lord, I give up. I'm tired of trying to do the right thing. Lord, please lead me, guide me, direct me. I've read in your word, I've heard from your word that this is part of what you do, that when you when we say, when we allow you to be Lord of our lives, you come and dwell in us. Your precious Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, making us your temple. And you will guide us. No, not like robots. We surrender ourselves to you. It's just like a vehicle. Yes, that vehicle can go everywhere you want to. But we allow you to use us to drive it. Oh Lord, help us. Some of you are saying right now, help me. I want to be saved. I want to be part of your family. I want to walk the way you want me to walk. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to do what you want me to do. I can't do it on my own, Father. I've tried. Sometimes I find myself doing pretty good for a while, a week, a month, a year maybe, or longer. But I always fall back. Lord, I'm tired of falling back. Trying it on my own, I can't do it. I need you, Lord, because you got the power. You got the power. You love it. I'm saying this and I'm gonna finish. Just as sure as Jesus stood before Pilate and got him to understand, this is my Father who's giving you the authority that you had. Now you can grandstand in front of all these folks, okay? But you know who I am. You've already said and testified in this very passage. Y'all take it upon yourself sometime to read this. This 19th chapter, where Paul says he was even more afraid. He knew who Jesus was. He did not accept him as Savior, as his Lord and Savior, but he knew who Jesus was. And you see, he tried to wash his hands of the whole matter. He said, y'all want this done. You who say that y'all are his family. You who say that, yes, y'all part of his clan. Y'all part of his lineage. You're the ones who's crying for his blood. I don't find anything wrong with him. I find no fault in him. That's the position that Pilate tried to take. But as Jesus let him know, yeah, the one, okay, who has brought me to this point has committed the greatest sin, is the most guilty. Some of you say, I don't understand that. Y'all know how to get in contact with me. We'll talk about it a little bit later, but I want you to understand this, that with everything that's going on around your life, everything that you're seeing, everything that you see going around you, understand something. It is no surprise to God. You see it happen before. It happened before. God knows all about it. And if you notice how he's keeping it from you, why? Because you still have a job to do. For those of you who have accepted the Lord as your Savior today, we praise God for you. We're praying for you and praying that you have the ability to align yourself with a Bible-believing fellowship. Some people say, well, a Bible-believing church, whatever words you want to use works for me. But make sure they're a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching church, not just a place that you go to where somebody is standing there saying words on Sunday morning just to make you happy. But somebody that's preaching the unadulterated word of God. Because sometimes that word instructs you, sometimes it exhorts you, sometimes it chastises you. Sometimes it lets you know that, hey, you're doing the right thing, but it also lets you know you're doing the wrong thing and tells you how to do the right thing, the gospel, the good news. That's where you need to be. Somebody who's not afraid to teach what thus is the word of God. You need to be there to help you as you are going around helping others to get the same thing that you got. Oh yeah, you say, well, I'm not a preacher, but the Lord told me to go out and teach all nations. I don't know much. Give what you got. Whatever it is you know, you teach that. Everybody's not going to stand before tens, hundreds, thousands of people. But we used to sing a song when I was a kid. Brighten the corner where you are. It may not be but a couple of people, might be just one, that the Lord puts in your charge. You teach that one. You say, what am I going to teach them? Tell them about how you got saved, what you got saved from, how you felt when you got saved. You got your testimony. If you can't teach nothing else, you teach that. And I'm here to let you know that even the angels in heaven are rejoicing over you being saved, over you accepting the Lord for who he is, Lord and Savior. And for those of you who say, well, I've done that a long time ago, but I've transgressed. I decided some time ago that I would walk in my own path, but I realized my path is not leading me to where the Lord wants me to go. No problem. This day, you rededicate your life. Say, Lord, I want to get back on the path you had me on. The Lord said, there it is right there. I'm willing to help you get right back on it. There's still work for you to do. I'm not taking away your job. I still have work for you to do. Come on back. Come on back and get back to work. I've saved you. I've kept you all this time waiting for this day so that you can come on back to work. Come on. We're not worried about what you did, what you did last month, last year, the last 10 years, not even last night. Come on. Let's get back to work. That's the kind of God we serve, the merciful, the gracious God that we serve. That's who we serve. And he said, I'm giving you everything you need to be successful on the job that I gave you. Why? Because I got that kind of power. I don't have to explain to anybody. You look in the word, when it came time for me to swear, I looked around, there was nothing for me to swear by but myself. But there's nobody greater than me. This is what God is saying. I got the power. I got it. Why don't you serve the one who's got the power? Not just here on earth. He's got all the power. That's why he's called omnipotent. Omni means all. He's all power. Who's got the power? Do you know now? You think Pilate knows now? Who got the power? God bless you, beloved. May heaven smile upon you. I pray that this word will sink deep down into your hearts. And again, may it be edification in your Christian living. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for your word. We all pray, Father, that not only has your word been rightly divided, but that you will grant us the wisdom, the understanding, even now the knowledge to be able to feed from your word, that it might lead us, guide us, direct us, as we do the same to those around us. Thank you, praise you, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that even as we continue through the rest of this day, that we can do so, living and walking in your spirit, governing ourselves in such a manner that even those in the world be able to see you through us, that you might get the glory out of our living. This we do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God bless.